Good afternoon, good evening,
good morning,
wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining me for today's SMIE Consulting Midweek Roundup. My name is Marty Bennett. I'm your host for this week's roundup, and we'll be covering three important issues in this week's international education news feeds. I know many of you who have been following for the last 6 months or so will know we spend this time each Wednesday talking about some issues that have crossed our news feeds that resonate well with institutions around the United States in terms of their international education strategies. So we're hoping today to bring you some different news on some and different takes on some views of topics that you may or may not be familiar with that have popped on our news feeds. But certainly one or two of these stories you will have at least heard something about in the last few days. So what I'd like to do first is to share what we're doing today on the three topics that we're covering. We're going to be covering one news story that's a little bit later on in the podcast and in this live chat related to reaction to the University of Farmington sting the Department of Homeland Security put on. We talked about a little bit about it last week. We're going to spend some time today discussing the reaction from the affected students and reaction back in India. There's quite a few stories that have come on the news feeds about that, and we'll cover a number of those in today's chat. But what I'd like to do first is start with an interesting story. Always gives context to discussions when we're talking about immigration and the kinds of groups that come to the United States. And this story comes from the Pew Research Center. I'm sharing the links to these articles and to the reports in the comments section on the Facebook page. But first off is the Inside Higher Ed story about the Pew Research Study. And that focuses on the college, and so they title it College-Educated Immigrants in the United States. And the good news is, if this is important to you, and we hope it is, that the U.S. does have more college-educated immigrants than other economically advantaged countries by 10 million over its nearest competitor. The U.S. has right now over 14.7 million immigrants aged 25 or older with a post-secondary diploma or degree. That's 10.3 million ahead of our nearest competitor, Canada, which has 4.4 million. It's highly skilled, college-educated immigrants in the UK behind Canada at 3.4. So you can see the U.S. as a whole, obviously a large, very large country, 320 million people, with 14.7 million being college-educated immigrants. And I happen to be one of those. I came to the United States when I was 5 years old with my family from the UK. My father came on an L2, L visa, intercompany transfer, and I was obviously L2, intercompany transfer dependent. So I've gone on to have both a bachelor's and master's degree, and I would fall into this category of 14.7 million college-educated immigrants. The Pew data itself is highlighted in the second link I've shared. It does highlight also what I think is important to keep in mind, U.S. preferences from U.S. adults related to immigrants. That roughly 8 in 10 U.S. adults, according to the Pew Research Center report, support encouraging highly skilled people to immigrate and work in the United States, a percentage that roughly matches those in other countries, including Sweden. Only Sweden and the UK, Canada, Germany exceed it, and Australia, excuse me, exceed that percentage, so 78%. And the what's important is to keep in mind across these countries that were profiled, basically a lot of Western industrialized countries that are on this list, and younger adults across these 12 countries, more highly educated adults and adults with higher incomes tend to be more supportive of encouraging highly skilled people to immigrate to their countries. And that's, again, in line with what other countries are also seeing. What you do find as one of the major differences is that roughly a third of all U.S. immigrants have a college degree, and that's a lower share than in many other advanced countries. Canada is at 65%, Australia 63%, UK 48 or 49, Israel 48%. So you're seeing that those countries that have a higher percentage of their immigrants who have with advanced degrees or have a college degree are countries that have had policies in place that provide very clear pathways to citizenships for those that come either for temporary work or for study to become eventual citizens or permanent residents of those countries. So interesting data, and the last point related to this that I will share actually comes from ACEI International. As an international credential evaluator, and they put together a nice summary of what they call 10 facts on U.S. immigration. And they cover a number of the points that we've covered from the Inside Higher Ed and Pew Research report, but the 13.5% of the U.S. population make up that percentage of immigrants in the United States currently. This is below the record, 13.5% is below the record, 14.8%, and that was way back in 1890 when 9.2 million immigrants lived in the U.S., and obviously the population was quite a bit lower then. Of the immigrants, of these 13.5%, or the 40 million people who are in the United States that are immigrants, 76% of those immigrants are in the U.S. legally, while a quarter are unauthorized, according to the ACEI and Pew Research Center report. Of those immigrant population, the 40 million people, of that number, 45% are now naturalized U.S. citizens, like myself. 27% were permanent residents, and 5% were temporary residents in 2016. So another 24% of all our immigrants were unauthorized. So Mexico still remains the top origin country for U.S. immigrant population, followed by China at 6%, India at 6%, Philippines and El Salvador at 4% and 3%. So what the reports certainly focus on is that most immigrants, most Americans, that is 71%, do hold a positive outlook on undocumented immigrants and see them holding jobs that American citizens do not want. And approximately 65% say undocumented immigrants are not more likely than U.S. citizens to commit serious crimes. That's again from the Pew Research Center report on U.S. attitudes towards immigrant populations of various kinds. And obviously with what we do at SMIE Consulting, we're focusing on the immigrant populations that want to come for study and for education and then have potential pathways to work and eventually permanent residency and citizenship. And that's something that sort of my family has benefited from as immigrants to the United States, and certainly something that I think there are plenty of people around the world who are still see the United States as their destination, their eventual destination. They want to come here for quality of life, for education, for whatever it might be. And in our jobs in international education, it's to showcase those opportunities for those outside that are looking to come here, and also for our citizens, students who want to go abroad. And I want to talk a little bit now from a student perspective. We've seen some of the good that's come, and the data from the Pew report certainly does share a bit of that. But there's also the bad, and what drives the bad. And this is something that certainly we talked about last week from the U.S. perspective on Department of Homeland Security starting their second fake university at the University of Farmington in Detroit. And that has had, there were 8 people arrested initially that were seen as the ringleaders of those who were trying to recruit students to this fake university for the purposes of a pay-to-stay and work scheme. What we're finding out from more recent reports, particularly those coming out of India, which we'll highlight a couple of those today, We see that the students that have, that were enrolled at University of Farmington, a greater percentage of these were already in the United States finishing up other degrees. And I'll highlight at least one or two of these examples as we get into some of the articles. For those who have been following this news cycle, BBC just put out a nice article on the US-India Farmington University row. They talked to a couple of students, one of which, you said, he fled the United States after the fake college was raided on January 31st. One particular student there were 130 students, according to the BBC report, that were enrolled originally, or enrolled at the time at the University of Farmington, 129 Indian students and one Chinese national. Other reports said it was a Palestinian national. The university had turned out to be a sham, run by undercover agents, as we talked about last week. And the student that they interviewed on the BBC says, "I did not know what to believe. I thought it was a rumor, but the whole story was out the next day." He returned to India on February 4th. Apart from the students that we talked about last week, the recruiters were the ones who are all Indian citizens, were charged with conspiracy to commit visa fraud and harboring aliens for profit. So this is a particular story we see repeated again and again on both the fake university side, as the University of North New Jersey showcased back in 2016-17, and then also in past occasions when DHS has, through its division HSI and ICE, have shut down fake institutions, or shut down what we call visa mills. There are accredited U.S. colleges out there, as well as unaccredited ones, but the accredited ones at least have the ability to issue I-20s for new students to come into the country legally as F-1 students, F-1 visa students. But the challenge has been in the past, these fake universities have, through their accreditors, have used the regulations, particularly regarding curriculum practical training, to exploit loopholes in the system to basically create this pay-to-stay scheme, where they admit these students, they never attend classes, or they attend a class one for a day or so, and then they can work whenever they want, wherever they want, and they have this curriculum practical training that can go on forever, as long as they're legally enrolled in their institutions. One of the students that indicated in the as one of these students from India that came to the United States initially, had done a degree elsewhere, and then transferred to University of Farmington while they were on OPT, finishing OPT or what have you. This same student that we mentioned earlier first moved to the United States, Varish, they call him in the BBC report, for a master's degree in 2014 to attend Northwestern Polytechnic University in California. NPU is one of those that had gotten, a for-profit institution that had gotten their accreditation through ASICS, one of the accrediting bodies that lost their accreditation in 2015, 2016, in the Obama administration. And then there's been talk of that accreditor, ASICS, regaining its accrediting status as a body under the Trump administration. But at that time, this NPU was one of the reasons it was shut down, is it was designated as a visa mill. They were admitting students from India, largely, but other countries as well, to come to campus for a day or two, register, and then they would not have to attend classes. They would go straight into work opportunities. So the student, Varish, he came for a master's degree at Northwestern Poly, graduated in 2016, and then applied for, at that time, he was working for a year in his field, and then he decided he needed he wanted to stay in the U.S., so he went to Farmington because it seemed like a similar model to what he would have been enrolled in at NPU. So that's something the BBC story doesn't cover, but NPU is another one of those visa mills. So this is And so this student from India enrolled October 2017, and he received his CPT the following day so he could begin work legally. So this is something that the loophole with CPT is, if you do more than a year of CPT, curricular practical training, you then lose any OPT opportunities you would have, optional practical training for after your completion of studies. So in this student's case, he had no intention of graduating. He was just going straight into work. Right at day after he enrolled at a degree program, he went to work. Now, sadly, as we discussed last week, this isn't an outlier. There are regularly regionally accredited U.S. schools that are testing the waters with this curricular practical training right out of the gate, because the regulations, the way they're written, and the way they can be loosely interpreted, allow for graduate students to come in and to begin work as long as it is an integral part of the curriculum. And the curriculum in this case is all work. And there have been, we talked about Campbellsville University last week, that they have enrolled an incredible number of students, largely from India, that come from a company that were already on OPT to do a master's degree, and they are able to continue their work as long as they come to campus. They start work right away, but they come to campus once for 2 or 3 weeks, and then they're working the rest of the time. So this is really what I certainly consider abuses of the system, and both at the accredited and unaccredited side, and fake university side, obviously. So we're feeling that the students that are interviewed in this BBC article, the ones that have not returned home right away, we've got another one that January, another student, Cervante, the name has been changed on her request, another graduate from Northwestern Polytechnic University, who came to Farmington, got her CBT to allow her to work right away. Unlike Farish, she could not leave the U.S. in time. She was visited by Department of Homeland Security officials on January 30th and now has an ankle monitor, and has been advised not to leave the country without informing them. So this is a real sad story for the families of these and the students themselves that were swept up in this. And a number of the articles that we've seen, and for those of you who follow or are subscribed to our SMIE Consulting e-newsletter that comes out Mondays, I have a link to several of the news stories that have popped in the last week that give the Indian perspective on things. I'm also sharing now, not from the Indian perspective, but or not the Indian perspective, but it does cover the kind of the ICE perspective on this. While the students feel like they're the victims in this, that they didn't know what they were getting into, certainly the two that were profiled in the BBC article, they were already attending and have graduated from a known Vietnam Northwest Polytechnic, and then continued on their work at illegal work. Through CBT at the University of Farmington. So there are people that say that they are the victims here, that the government is acting rogue in this behavior, but this is not something that's is unique to the Trump administration. As we discussed last week, the Obama administration initiated the University of North New Jersey in 2014. The University of Farmington was actually, that process started in 2015, again, still under the Obama administration. So, but when we look at this, the Farmington students in particular, that over the course of since 2015, when they were first up and running, the eight recruiters that were arrested, that were charged for allegedly trying to help over 600 foreign students remain in the country at the University of Farmington, basically transferring them in from. Other CVIS approved institutions like at the time Northwest Poly was. So the students who are surveyed here and the Daily Caller article that is interviewed, his name is Jay. He only wanted to be identified by his first initial. He said he did not want to stay in the U.S. illegally. Because he says, as an international student, we are trusting universities. I didn't have any other option. Well, you did. You had an option to leave because you weren't or enroll in a proper university. That is one of the things I don't have much sympathy for students who get in this situation. I certainly think they got poor advice from a number of different sources. For those students that were at Northwestern Poly before they came to the University of Farmington, that's a real issue. If they were already in that similar situation, they think that's the only way it is in the U.S., then I can see maybe why they did that. But they got bad advice on the front end before they even came, and who knows what they paid up front to get that Northwest Poly spot, let alone the spot at the fake university in Michigan. So it's another interesting one. Another student from India, Lakshmi, said he was enrolled in Farmington for almost 2 years while he worked as a software engineer. When Lakshmi heard about the raids, he booked a flight to Canada that same night. And he says, I built my career 4.5 years in the U.S. My primary focus is that I need to come back to the United States. If it won't happen, I don't know. I don't have any idea. My mind is in the question mark. So this is an immigration lawyer that's involved with some of these students that he made the point to these students that he was on a conference call with Farmington students and said that if you are unlawfully present in this country and if you don't leave the country, you may be barred from reentry. And that's certainly the unlawful presence law that's currently making its way through the courts in terms of the length of the bans for those that are impacted. So it really seems that this is really an issue that's going to have some legs here, and I think we may not see another fake university because I think that might be good. Hopefully students are getting a little bit suspicious of this and not paying the money to try and get these kind of pay-to-stay schemes. But unfortunately, this has happened again, as it has in North New Jersey with the Farmington students. And it's unfortunate that it's happening. We know that the greater majority of these students are coming from India, and many of them have already been in the country before they enrolled at Farmington. So it's really a very difficult, many-layered problem that these students certainly are facing in terms of what's next for them. We don't know, but certainly we're seeing a lot of these kinds of stories in the last few days about what's next for these students and how they should be treated. Like the North New Jersey students, so many of them at that time seemed that the students were certainly not the focus of the case. The case was against those 20 people or so that were arrested and seen as the recruiters there. But here we're talking about 120, 130 students that were in the country at the time. Many have left already, and the advice that for those that aren't already detained is you want to leave as well because you don't want to, if you ever want to have a chance of coming back, you better do so quickly. So we'll see what happens with that, and we'll keep our eyes and ears posted on for upcoming news stories on that. And thanks, Lou, for joining us. You do one of our faithful regulars here. Appreciate that. Hope you're well, and looking forward to seeing you at NAFSA in D.C. in May. Hope all is well with you. Last story that I want to cover today is a quick one on what's happening in the UK. For those that have been paying attention to what's happening with the Brexit situation coming up at the end of March, we're looking at a situation now where there's not likely, or at least right now, there's not likely to be a deal in place that, and the education sphere, what that no deal Brexit means is any guarantees for EU students that might want to study in the UK and vice versa, UK students might want to study in your EU countries, universities. So the article I've just posted from Times Higher Ed out of the UK does actually have some potentially good news. It's entitled Double Push to Revive International Student Recruitment in the UK. Universities are lobbying for a new strategy to set enrollment targets for students coming to the UK. Other ministers, ex-ministers, are also looking to reintroduce post-study work visas to the UK. There's still work available for students who graduate in the UK with degrees, but it's tied to tied to their student status, much like the F1 visa does with OPT in the United States. So this double push here is certainly something I wish we could have in the United States. An international education strategy at the U.S. federal government level, that's never going to happen, unfortunately, in certainly this climate. But certainly there are moves to set target numbers for overseas students and have government support to get there, help universities get there. So that's very encouraging to see that. The moves are, and the article points out clearly, that these moves are driven by fear. Without concrete policy shifts to establish a more welcome approach, according to the article, the UK will fall behind the key international rivals in the global race to attract students. So the UK has been the number two destination for international students, depending on which numbers you read. Some might say it's Australia. China's coming up pretty quick, so you know, in terms of how you count your students, we're not sure on what that looks like. So a lot happening in the UK, certainly even without a no-deal Brexit. There are certainly other signs that the UK is going to be doing well. There's another recent article in The Guardian about enrollments from China and Hong Kong. That's also very encouraging that they're at record highs there from those two countries, from China and Hong Kong. Even though China says Hong Kong is part of their Hong Kong number-wise is counted differently in almost all countries. U.S. certainly counts Hong Kong separate from mainland. And the HESA numbers in the U.K. certainly reflect that as well, that the numbers of applicants coming from China and Hong Kong were up to 21,000 from this past year from those two countries. And in contrast, Wales, part of the UK, accounted for only 18,850. So, I mean, more applicants, more undergraduates soon, if these trends continue, soon there will be more undergraduates from China at British universities than from Wales. So we're looking at right now, last year from China and Hong Kong, there were more than 100,000 enrolled at universities. That's out of nearly 350,000 full-time postgraduates. So we'll see what happens. Those numbers from China and Hong Kong are double what they were in 2012. So certainly moving in the right direction. And non-EU recruitment for UK universities is certainly going the way to offset any decreases that the UK universities might be experiencing as a result of a no-deal Brexit. So we'll see what happens there. And we'll leave you lastly with just our SMIE Consulting e-newsletter. It's called All the SMIE News Fit to Share. Just posted the link to our most recent edition from Friday. We'll detail a number of the stories that we covered today. You'll find the links to those in more detail. I encourage you all to subscribe to that e-newsletter. And there's a quick sign-up form that I'll put the link to as well. And that's an easy way to just get in your inbox on Monday morning's news brief on what's happening with in some of the topics that we found over the last week. In a little bit more in detail, we'll also cover our new social media stories that might apply and be useful as your institution looks to expand what they're doing internationally. So I encourage you all to check that out. We'll be featuring a couple new stories next week, one of which is on actually a fairly unique program coming out of the State Department and the Bureau of Education and Cultural Affairs. We'll have more to share on that next week for the highlights of international education success stories. So I look forward to keeping in touch with you on this chat. For those listening on the podcast, thank you, and I appreciate your support there. And we'll be in touch in the coming days and weeks. And look forward to see you next week on this next live chat. Have a great day.